Good morning. Wow, lively group. Glad to be here. Today, as Ashley mentioned in her prayer over the message, that is a message that's put upon my heart, I struggled and tried to have a message about being contagious, because I've been called contagious before. And you know what? And then I thought, okay, well, then courageous. And then I went through a bunch of C words, couldn't come up with anything. And then it just fell on me that I needed to go to this message. So I punched this out in a day. And the topic of today is anger. And so if this doesn't apply to you, then you're just going to have to listen to me preach to myself. But we're going to start the message off with a little kind of a rundown on anger according to Harvard Institute. And this is what they have to say. We usually think of anger in negative terms, unhappiness, unpredictability, danger, aggression, impatience, and other feelings or reactions that aren't considered especially healthy or helpful. But in certain situations, anger can be a helpful emotion. It might motivate you to leave toxic workplace or relationships, solve a perplexing problem, fight for a righteous cause, or take other actions that hold at least the potential of being rewarding and satisfying. But anger is not just an emotion, it's a physiological reaction and is part of your body's natural fight or flight response to threats. These include a cascade of changes that naturally occur in the body, such as a flood of stress hormones cause the heart to beat faster and increase blood flow to the muscles and organs, increase in blood pressure and pulse rate. Breathing gets faster, helping the lungs take in more oxygen than usual, which makes you more alert and sharpens your senses, including sight and hearing. An increase in the hormone epinephrine causes blood glucose levels to rise, providing the body more energy to take action to flee or fight. So, of course, anger is more than just a physical reaction. In physiological terms, anger is a normal emotion response to a person or situations you believe has treated you unfairly or has otherwise been hurtful or harmful. Bear with me, there's just a little more. Anger emerges when you feel threatened emotionally, physically, financially, or in other ways. At the root of many angry feelings is a sense of powerlessness. When we are unable to correct or improve a situation, a traffic jam, a job loss, a relationship breakup, a chronic illness, or frustration, sadness, letdown, and other negative emotions often converge into anger. Anger can also be linked to a long-held feelings associated with bullying, trauma, neglect, abuse, rejection, discrimination, or other struggles that may date back to childhood. So, it is important to understand that anger isn't an emotion to be eliminated, but rather one to be channeled in constructive ways. Happiness and contentment aren't enough to tackle all of life's challenges. We need the full complement of emotions to succeed in jobs, relationships, and the day-to-day matters that affect us directly or indirectly, but because of the risks associated with poorly controlled anger, it is good to know how to manage this emotional response. Whew. That's what they had to say about anger. So anger, what is it? Now you're going to get from the book of Larry, starting at chapter 1 on anger. So anger, what is it? I tell you, it's something you can't get rid of. You're kidding yourself if you think you're in control, that you can just stifle anger and then it just goes away and you can be the, a unicorn with rainbows coming out of your ears all the time. It doesn't work that way. Even if you say, today I choose to never be angry again, I'm done. It doesn't work that way. We have anger for a reason. Anger takes on many faces. And mostly, it's a deceitful enemy to peace and to your well-being. To include being, these are a couple of hot spots for me. being rude, or showing contempt. You know, when someone doesn't agree with you, or you're not getting your way, or even being miffed because you were inconvenienced, yeah, that's anger on display. There are so many ways people display their anger, and I can't go through them all, but a lot of them are subtle, some of them not so subtle. I've been called an angry man many times in my life. That's because I'm not subtle. But just because you're not a raging lunatic doesn't mean you're not an angry person. You follow? Okay, I got three mm-hmms, so I'm in the right room. Anger typically is a defensive mechanism, though anger also is an offensive weapon. Anger is narcissistic. There is only one acceptable anger demonstration, and that is a righteous anger. And that term there is often misused. It really, the bottom of every anger issue typically is a self-important or selfish ambition is the root, disguised as righteous anger. It is quite all right and normal to get angry. I'm telling you that right here and right now. The Bible does say, just don't sin in your anger. So that means what you feel inside is fine. And I'm going to tell you from my experience and from the little bit of training I've had on this, whatever you're feeling is right. There's not a wrong feeling out there. You feel the way you feel, and that's just the way you feel. You can't say it's right or wrong because it's just a feeling. But what you do with that feeling is going to determine whether you're on the right side or the wrong side of that equation. Do not sin in your anger. Therein lies the issue that we need to deal with. What you do with the anger or any feelings you have for that matter will determine your position in the end. We were never allowed to sin without consequences for that sin. When I think of that, I think of the fruits of the Spirit. So if we go to Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Self-control. Definitely, at least in my life, has been provided by the Spirit. It is not, does not come to man naturally. And I think that's why, in my opinion, my humble opinion, like I said, I'm preaching out of the book of Larry. Self-control is at the end because that is the summation of all the things that precede it. Can you love without self-control? Is there joy without self-control? Is there peace without self-control? Is there kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness? Are there any of those things without self-control? This is why we need the Spirit, because these are the fruits of the Spirit, not the fruits of mankind, not the fruits of education, not the fruits of knowledge, not the fruits of genealogy. These are the fruits of the Spirit, which require a self-control that can only come by the Spirit. If it was about self-help, then we wouldn't need Jesus, we'd just need a library. We go to the self-help section, how to fix your hot water heater, and right next to that is how to have self-control, and we'd have everything mastered, and we'd move on. But that's not the case. We are in a fallen state. We are born into a fallen world with a wicked nature because of sin. So this is where the problem is a sinful nature. Self-control, like I said, does not come to me naturally. But we're going to take a look through Scripture And this is kind of a topical, more of a commentary than really a training or an education, because I believe that Sunday mornings is not where you're really going to get the meat in which you're going to live your life by. These things are to inspire you so that you dig deeper for yourself. This is why we have life groups. This is why we have youth group. This is why we have the groups that we have, because this should inspire you to get engaged deeper and a more personal study of the word and understanding of who God is and his purpose for your life. So today, it's going to be topical day, and the topic is anger. So we're going to begin in the book of Exodus, chapter 32, beginning in verse 8 through the 10th verse. This is God. So they have been quick to turn away from what I have commanded them and have made themselves an idol cast in the shape of a calf. They have bowed down to it and sacrificed to it and have said, "These are your gods, Israel, who brought you up out of Egypt." "I have seen these people," the Lord said to Moses, "and they are a stiff-necked people. Now leave me alone." I think that's funny that he tells Moses, "Leave me alone, so that my anger may burn against them and that I may destroy them. Then I will make you a great nation." So here's God angry because of the, well, you read it. The Lord told Moses about the situation, but notice this, he did not immediately destroy Israel. Which gave Moses the opportunity to pray on their behalf for the Lord to relent. See, this is a deeper glimpse into righteous anger. It is not impulsive. It recognizes the wrongdoing, calls it out, but it allows time for reconciliation. Moses stepped in for the mercy of God to prevail. So, you know, a lot of this is you just got to ask yourself the right questions through this whole thing. Am I acting as Moses would when the guy cuts me off in traffic? Am I acting like Moses did when someone has wronged me or hurt me? Did I take it to God and allow God's mercy to prevail? Or did we give in to our anger and let our anger prevail? So I know this is an oversimplified view. So what? It just is. But can God have any less expectations for you, for your behavior, than what he demonstrated right there? Can we say any less about God's expectations for our behavior than what he is able to demonstrate here in the book of Exodus? To show mercy and present some grace so that there may be reconciliation. To allow God to restore someone or something with his judgment over it all. There is a chance he won't. This is true. There's a chance he won't. But that is from his perspective and by his providence. That will be the determining factor, not how we see it or what we want. We see in this next scripture that God has given Moses a name for himself of the Lord and a few qualifiers of his character. This is done after the first tablets were broken, by the way, and Moses had to go return to God and get a redo. In Exodus 35, verses 5 and 6, "Then the Lord came down in the cloud and stood there with him and proclaimed his name, the Lord, and passed in front of Moses, proclaiming, 'The Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness.'" See, I don't know about Moses, but I think a big sigh of relief, maybe in order, when God expressed the fact of being slow to anger, right about now, as well as abounding in love. Slow to anger. And also not beholding to grudge. That is one of the things that is so infinitely reassuring about this relationship with God. He will not and does not remind us of the wrongs that we have committed. He will address it, and he will work on it, and he'll work with us, but does not remind us over and over and over of past shortfalls. If you are burdened or harassed by past mistakes, let me tell you this. That is not our God. The operative word here is past. Okay? The enemy of your soul is the accuser. The haranguer and molester of your soul uses this technique to keep you focused on what you have done wrong and take your eye off moving forward and closer to God. See, I recommend this scripture to be read daily. Maybe start your devotional time with this, and it's Psalm 30, beginning in verse 1 through the 5th verse. It says, I will exalt you, Lord, for you have lifted me out of the depths and did not let my enemies gloat over me. Lord, my God, I call to you for help, and you healed me. You, Lord, brought me up from the realm of the dead. You spared me from going down to the pit. Sing the praises of the Lord, you faithful people. Praise his holy name, for his anger lasts only a moment, but his favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping may stay for the night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. Amen? So I'd be remiss at this time if I do not remind us that God does not remove the consequences of this, or from this world, from dumb decisions or actions. There are consequences to be felt. If you don't like them, then it's more likely you are not going to repeat them and expect to be bailed out every time you do one. I believe this to be a very important part of the human growth. We can take goodness for granted sometimes. How often? You know, like I just thought of it. Pastor Jim says there's an old proverb, you know, if you don't thank God for something, then you stole it. How often are we a thief throughout the day when something's happening that is worthwhile of recognizing God's goodness? Just as a reminder, how easy it is to take someone for granted, including God. See, we recently went through Proverbs, so we all know that they are for our instructions, yes? Jim knows. Okay. I'm sorry, I'm feeling a little snarky today. So yes, that's exactly what Proverbs means. If you remember the study we did, that's what it means. Proverbs means instruction. Well, here you go. There are two different angles to looking at people who are prone to anger and will, and what to, ooh, wow, I rented that word. I think I missed a payment. Let me try that again. There are two different angles to looking at people who are prone to anger and what to look out for. And then the next two are in Proverbs 29:11. Fools give full vent to their rage, but the wise bring calm in the end. In Proverbs 22:24 through 25. Do not make friends with a hot-tempered person. Do not associate with one easily angered, or you may learn their ways and get yourself ensnared. The reality of anger is that everyone gets angry. I'll let that settle on you. Everyone is an angry person. Okay? You just don't see it in some people. I would like to pick on Jan for a second. Could you stand up for us? Oh, you are. See, now that is an old and tired joke. Jan would agree with me for that. But I am sure right now, in her little self-inner being, she would like to kick me as high and as hard as she possibly can right in my ankle bone. Okay, I'm done picking on you. But she won't. She may feel the burn of the anger, but she is not ruled by it or the feeling of it. Angry, but not sinning. Great is the example that she gives of the proper surrender to Christ. I think I may have just got myself out of being kicked. Maybe. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 and 5, it says, love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. We have heard that scripture many times, but take hold of it today, because then I'm going to modify it a little bit. If I'm still in lukewarm water, I want to get into the cool water with Jan. You could say it this way. Jan is patient. Jan is kind. Jan does not envy. She does not boast. She is not proud. Jan does not dishonor others. She is not self-seeking. She is not easily angered. She keeps no records of wrong. Jan does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. Jan always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Am I wrong? Well, let's give Jan a round of applause. Thank you for being a good sport. I think I'm safe now. I'll probably make it to my car. So moving on, a little fun there with Jan. You can see the correlation between pride and anger. Perhaps that is not the intent of these two verses, being one after the other. However, show me an angry person who does not struggle with pride, and I will show you an elephant hiding in a cherry tree. In Proverbs 29, verse 22, it says, an angry person stirs up conflict, and a hot-tempered person commits many sins. Pride brings a person low, but the lowly in spirit gain honor. You know, I could not pass on this, which I believe is the most known verse relating to anger in James 1, 19 and 20. My brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Did you take the note of that? Human anger does not produce righteousness. Totally different from godly anger. This does not, this does come back to your anger. If left unbridled, it does not constitute freedom of speech or your personal rights. It will produce a bitter fruit that even lemons would avoid. We should want to let God do his work. So we have to allow that to happen. Do it his work in his way. And I'm not saying that we sit on our hands by any means. What I am saying, before you let loose your anger on someone or something, you had better drag it before the Lord of Lords and wait for the answer. In Psalm 37, verses 7 and 8, it says, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when people succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. Refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Do not fret. It leads only to evil. I've also heard a message, many messages, about Jesus saying that if you hate your brother, you have committed murder, because it is what's in your heart that you are weighed and measured on. Here you have that even name-calling will hold you into account, probably because that pride or contempt that you have for another is the bucket that dipped from the well of your heart, revealing to everyone your inner being, your true self. In Matthew 5, 21 and 22, it says, you have heard this, that this is, man, let me try that again. Verse 21, you have heard that it was said to the people long ago, you shall not murder. And anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with a brother or sister will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to a brother or sister, Raca, is answerable to the court. And anyone who says, you fool, will be in danger of the fire of hell. You know, I've heard Raca many times, and to be honest, I'd forgot the definition, so I looked it up. Raca is an Aramaic word for empty-headed or fool. Some say it means worthless. So you see, Jesus reaffirms the idea that what is in the heart is what condemns a man. Ephesians 4, chapter 4, verses 4 through 6. As a prisoner of the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. But completely humble and gentle, be patient, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. We're probably going to make the soccer game, so those that were waiting. If I could have the music team come up at this time, we're going to close this out. See, I recently heard someone ask a simple question. What do you get when you apply pressure to an orange? Orange juice. Very good. So what you get out of that orange when it's squeezed is orange juice. So what do you get when you apply pressure to an apple? Well, we've got this guy sitting in the front of the class for a reason. He's getting them all. Apple juice. A grape? Grape juice. All right. Boy, we're perking up now. You can only get out of something what is already on its inside. And what you get when you put the apply the pressure on it is... Boy, I butchered that too. Jim, help me, man. You're supposed to be praying for me back there. You can only get out of something what is already on the inside. And what you get when the pressure is on will tell you what kind of fruit it is. So when your chest is tight, you feel the temperature going up, when you feel the pressure, what do you produce? Is it rage? Do you let your frustration manifest and boil over? Maybe you simply stew on it. You lose sleep over it. Quietly hate how you were talked to or how you were treated, and end up refusing to be in the same room with that person ever again. It is much like the guy that got me started playing golf late in my life, 51 years old, I started playing golf. And he was a pretty good instructor. He'd actually take me out and work with me as we were playing the game. And obviously I demonstrated some frustration. I wanted to see the improvement faster than it was coming around. And he laughed and he said, "Let me tell you something an old guy told me. You aren't good enough to get mad." Right? Let that sink in. It's all part of the growth process, all part of the learning process, all the part of becoming better process is realizing that you are not good enough to get mad. Now, ain't that a life lesson? Are you good enough to get mad? Better than the one that hung on the cross in your place? Better than the one who rose from the grave? Are you? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22 to 24. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on a new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. And then 25 through 27. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. Verse 29, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Amen. Please stand.
When Larry came and asked me to close in prayer, I have to admit to you that I really didn't hear a word that he said, because I don't struggle with anger. Until I realized that maybe I do a little bit, because Jan, I'm willing to kick him for you. Anger is something that we all deal with on different levels. And as Larry was speaking, I thought of David when he was praying to his God. And he said, "Lord, if there is anything in me, search me. And if there is anything offensive in me, point it out to me and help me deal with it." And if we struggle with something, that is the only way to get rid of it, is to say, "God, I am not able to handle this. I am not able to do this on my own, but I'm willing to let you work on me and through me." And with his help, you can get rid of a lot of things that you struggle with. You just have to allow him to put his finger on it and then be open enough to say, "Okay, Lord, help me with that." I don't get nearly as angry driving anymore, because I don't drive as much anymore. And, you know, God has his ways of helping us out. I have not called down curses on anyone for quite some time. Although I still do call down curses on those people who leave their parking cart or their carts in a parking spot and refuse to put it away. They'll walk through Walmart for an hour and a half pushing that thing, but they won't walk 20 feet to put it away. I still curse those people. And it's a righteous anger, just so you know. because I'm thinking more about the people who wanted that spot. No, there are things that God, if we're honest with ourselves, that we need to stop justifying. Oh, at least I'm not as bad as so-and-so. Or at least I don't get as angry as so-and-so. But just going, okay, God, I give you permission to search my heart, to reveal what's really in there, and help me to get rid of it. Amen? Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are a God that is slow to anger, that you are a merciful God, because we all deserve to be wiped out a long time ago. But through your love for your creation, you give us second and third and fourth chances. Help us, Lord, to make the most of those, to make the most of your spirit that dwells inside of us, to rid us of those things that separate us from your love. And thank you, Heavenly Father, and pray that you would be with us, that your spirit would be upon us in all that we do. And all God's people said, amen, you're dismissed.